Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. The Lord laid on my heart, and I don't know what I'm going to be sharing with you because somebody told me or I heard some sort of news report. I just know it because God revealed it to me. Mm-hmm. And we'll just weigh it out, and we'll watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a track record mm-hmm. when God begins to reveal things to me that it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of the things he's revealing to me is, if you have been robbing from God, you know, if you've been robbing God, I'm not talking about breaking into some building somewhere and stealing the hair products. I'm talking about, you know, robbing from God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, if you've been robbing him, this side of, oh my goodness, would be a good chance to go, you know, God, I'm so sorry for stealing from you. I have stole from you for a long time.
Mm.
I have taken the treasures that was yours, and I've used them to pay off my enemy. Mm. I don't know, to pay off the power company.
Right.
To pay off people that were threatened to be able to take my kingdom. Oh, I'm at my house. So I've been robbing you with the tithes and the offerings. I'm saying that this morning because you got to be a, Jesus said this. He says, you need to be a shrewd manager. Like I would read that, you know, coming from management in my education and being a business owner and just loving business.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus gives this story. This is God speaking through Jesus mm-hmm. about how to be a shrewd manager. And this is what mm-hmm. we have to be. We have to be, you want to be able to do what you can on this side of, oh my goodness. Because the
right.
other side of, oh my goodness, you're going to have to live with what you did or didn't do. Because you're not mm-hmm. going to be able to do what you could do now. I think it's called repentance, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can repent,
right?
But you have all this regret. And so you just got to say, yeah, I robbed you. There's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, I'm confessing because you caught me, not because I wanted to do what was right. And God accepts that. But you feel so bad about it.
You know? Yeah.
I robbed him all my life, but bless God, he saved me.
Mm.
And so he says, be a shrewd manager. And you're thinking, this is great. I mean, you sit up, I'm going to learn how to be a manager. And this manager, you know, he's the one running a merchant. Imagine he's like running a store for an owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he has all these clients who buy the products and... And so he finds out that he's going to get a transition package, you know, which is a very corporate word for you're out of here. We mm-hmm. don't want to see you again. And the truth is, if we wanted you, we would not be sending you away. But we're telling you good words so that you will leave in a good terms.
Right.
Right.
So that you won't come back and use these laws to come against us.
Nah,
that's not true. Anyway,
no.
Could be. I don't know. And so he's finding out he's going to get a notice. Unlike the federal government's doing right now for all the federal employees, they're saying we're not going to give you a notice and told everybody you don't have to abide by the Hyde rules, whatever it is. It says that if it looks like you're not going to be able to fund the budget, you've got to let them know 6 days in advance that they could lose their job.
Oh my mm-hmm. goodness!
And so I'm nothing like our president. The only thing I can compare our current presidency to, and this is all in due respect, and it's just. Accuracy based on my knowledge, it seems more like a king.
You know?
Mm. It's like the laws are kind of pushed aside,
right.
And you just hear these new, which is normal. I mean, if you have a king, mm-hmm. you have these decrees. Today off with your head,
right? Yeah, right.
Today not off with your head. Isn't it good? The king's saying not off with your head today.
Yeah,
I was listening to one businessman interviewed, and he's talking about how he created 250,000 jobs. And he says that's 250,000 more jobs than our current president's created.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, but the thing is that I'm fearful. I have no idea what's going to come out of our president's mind next. He just doesn't know. And he says the businessmen, businesswomen in the community, in the nation, they just don't know what's going to come out next. Yeah. And that's a king. A king could do that. A king could get up on the wrong side of the bed and you could, you know, somebody could come dance before him and he kind of gets induced and he goes, give her half the kingdom. Give her half the kingdom. It's like, yeah, quit giving him so much wine. We're going to lose the whole country, right? And that was acceptable.
Cut him off right now.
Cut him off right now.
Turn off his mic, quick.
And then get Herodias out of here. And so, Herodias. Anyway, so the, and so they don't, so he says, to be a shrewd businessman. This is Jesus now. This is the Jesus that, you know, kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Let me tell you what he said. He said this. He said, this guy, and he teaches great with allegories, and he says, he's going to get a transition package. He's going to be fired. And a lot of Americans are going, 23 million Americans plus now. 16 million, I believe, just stepped out of the workforce, period, and just said, we're not, or not 16 million, I forget what the number is. They decided they're just not going to work anymore. Obviously, it must be the wife.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like some husband goes, yeah, I just decided I'm not going to work anymore. I decided you're out of here. Anyway, so, there's nothing sadder than the wife. Anyway, so, anyway. So he finds out he's not going to be working there anymore, but he's in authority as in a management position. And he realizes that he has this ability or given this authority in this business to be able to distribute products and collect the money for the products. You know, like Pat's hair product, you know,
you know,
it's like $15 a can, a bucket. No, it's not. He does it just naturally that way. We'll be talking about that in the extra hour. The, oh, my goodness. I think I see one out of place. Snap, I got a picture. We'll put it up. Anyway, so the, I mean, he's going to be fired. And most people will start saying at that point, like, well, first you go through a pity party. I draw a line different to this company. I've given my life to this thing. I haven't given to the Lord, but I have given to this company. And I've been serving the union, as if it was the union that fought during the war. And, and they just feel, I just feel so betrayed. It's like, dude, you worked. They gave you a paycheck.
That's right.
Were you robbing God? If you weren't robbing God, then you can have confidence God's going to take care of you. If you were robbing God, you need to be a little bit worried because it could be a long transition period, but he's full of mercy and grace.
That's right.
Because if you're robbing God, what we're really saying is that, that money's God. That actually Baal is God. The work of our hand is God. And so God just lets, he kind of proves that in our life. So he goes, listen, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is Jesus talking, man. This is good. This is Jesus talking. And it's amazing. Still, only 3% of the church, 97% of the church, the regular church attenders who attend at least twice a month, man, bless their hearts.
Wow.
And come together with other believers at least twice a month. I mean, just makes,
don't overdo it now.
Makes Shekinah want to come down, right? Anyway, the remind me to tell you about Shekinah. Anyway, so the
I remember that.
So the he says, this is what I'm going to do, because he realized I had no longer had favor anymore with this boss. For whatever reason, he's giving me a transition package. So quit trying to make him or her happy, right? It's like, turn outward.
It's
turn
over.
Turn your focus outward. Get rid of the company T-shirt.
Quick,
give back the mug.
I remember talking to someone once. They were talking about, you know, they're gonna lose their job, they're gonna lose their job, gonna lose their job, gonna lose their job. And I said, well, you know what that means? And they leaned forward with great anticipation and they said, what? I said, that means you're gonna do something else. <You know? laughs> And it's true.
Absolutely.
There was a blessing in store. And so he says, I'm gonna start handing the boss's stuff out to the people that come and get the groceries and the product. And it was, you know, wheat and stuff. It was not microwave goods or frozen goods, guys.
Oh, no.
Sons of Thunder. It's amazing what can come frozen. If freezers go out, these guys are in trouble.
We're done.
Yeah, the other radio's over as we know it. Sorry. A weight loss program. What do you do with that? You cook it. Put it on top of the stove. Boil it. And so he started giving it at half price. Can you imagine that? You give a 60-day notice to employees, according to the Hyde Amendment or whatever it's called, Hyde Law. And they say, thank you for giving me 60 days. I'm going to build a lot of relationships in these next 60 days.
That's right.
And you start selling your company out at half price. Mm-hmm. And so he said, for you, I'll cut your bill in half. For this one, I'll cut the bill in half. Because if you're at the store owner, you're thinking, Jesus, this is not good. I mean, you're already having to fire this dude. And now he's messing you over. Almost used a fastener terminology. But the he's messing you over. Something you would use with a Phillip head or a standard.
Oh, yeah. I got
it. Took him a while. Though.
It took you a while. Thank God I stopped. Anyway, allegedly. And with that he started giving everybody, the boss who was firing him, mm-hmm. giving them like half off.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't his product. It wasn't his business. And he said, you know, I'm too proud to dig ditches. I can
imagine. Too feeble.
God. You know, I remember digging footers and all that in a construction company when I was in shape. I'm actually in shape now. I'm in a different shape. Now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And we're all in shape, just different kinds of shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why blousing. As Pat would say, with me, I would just say loose clothes.
Blousing.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Like camouflage.
It's amazing. It is literally, it's an amazing thing. It really is. And we found the Fritos.
What are you wearing? Oh, just a tent.
A bloused tent.
A blousing
tent. No, he really didn't call it that. His mother called it. Oh, I just like the way you blouse your shirt. he's Googling that word now. Anyway, the boss fired him, so this is Jesus. So he's cutting the dude's stuff in half and giving it away, and he says, I'm too proud to dig a ditch.
Mm.
And what else? I'm too... His eyes roll all the way back in his head. And I'm too old to be able to work to do those things. What he said. In other words, he didn't see what he's going to be able to function outside of this. He said, at least when this is all said and done, and this is where we all need to be, when it's all said and done, we need to be able to have relationships with people.
Right.
The most important thing was how you're treating people. Because he says, I at least want to be able to be, I want them to invite me into their homes. I don't want to be in the streets. I want somebody that cares about me and realize I cared about them. It's sad to know that he didn't care until he was going to be on the streets, but that made sense.
Yeah.
And so Jesus says, we need to be shrewd businessmen.
Mm-hmm.
We need
mm-hmm.
to be shrewd. And what's about to happen in the world, and what's about to happening as we speak in the economy, they're just buying time, by the way. They're just buying time. Getting us closer to the proverbial cliff, which I refer to prophetically as a cliff before mm-hmm. the government is calling it a cliff.
Wow.
We even have, you know, is America under God's judgment? You know, all these different prophetic words. And it was a ship going towards a waterfall. But I was saying very specifically, they could push now, but they're just getting us closer and closer. So the push is easier.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And now they're using cliff. They're calling it some sort of cliff in January. It's the tax cut thing and all. It's when you got to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
To be shrewd, this is Jesus was telling. What would be shrewd? How about not robbing God? Mm. You know? Yeah. I mean, do you really want
to
be...
That's a good place to start, right? That'd be a good place to start.
Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. You're not going to have anything anyway probably for a while. Why not do the right things with your marbles now before you lose your marbles? Why not do the right thing with your checker pieces now before you lose your checker pieces? You know, while you have that ability and authority, why not be shrewd now and to start doing what Achan should have done when God said, the first is mine. Mm-hmm. He says, I'll give you this land, Israel, and I'll do all this for you. But the first place, Jericho, belongs to me. All the treasures, all the booty, all the different things coming out of that, gold and the silver is mine. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a man, his name was Achan. And that's what we say. Are you a little Achan?
Yeah.
Are you like pain, Achan? Because you'll start suffering in your life. When you're robbing from God, you'll be suffering.
That's right.
And or you'll be suffering without purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Without hope.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because you knew that you robbed God and you're thinking there's no, And so they went in there, they marched around the walls, they shouted, and just like God said, well, the walls fell into the ground. They literally sunk into the ground and everybody was terrified and God gave them the victory and God gave them all the first because God was going to give them a lot of different battles, successes. Mm-hmm. But this first one, the first, and that's what the tithe is, the first of your increase. It's all God's, but just give me the first, he says. You know, God's into ratios, not amounts. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before. And when Achan, this one man, when he was looking at all this wealth and all this treasure, and America's one of the wealthiest nations in the world and how we're living per capita, and he just saw it, and he goes, I know this is God's, but I can't afford to give God. I can't afford it. And besides, I like that coat, mm-hmm. and I like that wedge of gold, and I'm just gonna take it home and put it in my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I'm gonna bury it in my tent. That's what he did.
Mm.
So God gave them the victory. Then God says this, America, the church in America. We're not talking to people who don't know God or don't even desire. We're talking to the church here.
Mm-hmm.
Then God said, the God that never changes, same yesterday and day and forever, he said, well, first what happened was Joshua went out and said, listen, we got a little small little battle we're going to have to fight. You know, these Aites. AI, got to go over there and we'll buzz over there because we already got Jericho. I mean, we knocked that big puppy down in the name of Jesus. We're going to go over here and knock this whole thing out. So we'll just send a couple guys over there. And they were whacked. Mm-hmm. They could no longer, even though you won big battles in your life, you can't even win the small ones anymore because of this. And they were defeated and they come running back and just made in front of and just humiliated. And Joshua falls down on his face, the man who was leading, and he says, why did you bring me here? Oh, my goodness. You just brought us here to kill us. You should have left us in the wilderness, in the desert. Oh, my goodness. Land flowing with milk and honey. We're all destroyed. And God goes, this is how God responds. The same Jesus is his true manager, right? He says, God says, get off your face. Quit whining. Get off your face. Quit complaining.
Mm-hmm.
He says, somebody has robbed me.
Mm.
He says, somebody's got my stuff. This is what he said. This is God. Mm-hmm. He says, somebody's got my stuff. And I want you to find who that is. And I want you to get my stuff back. And whoever took my stuff, whoever took it, I want them gone. Of course, we live in the day of grace and mercy, but if you don't see forgiveness, it's not going to be pretty. You're talking about transition records.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
I'm saying, I transition from heaven to... Anyway, so... Mm-hmm. That's a shocker. I mean, everything was falling apart, but it boiled down to somebody was robbing God. Because everything, the treasures of Jericho, the very first battle, God says, that one's mine, I'll give you the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And Achan, who was a little Achan, said that... he just couldn't get over it. And so they started parading the people past, Joshua, and God was giving them words of knowledge. And all of a sudden, when Achan came by, can you imagine?
It's like that radar when you go through the airport. Woo! I think this one's it.
Yeah. I see a wedge of gold under your coat. And so...
What's that hanging out of your back pocket, Achan? What is that under that blousing shirt you got on?
Yeah. And so he, and all of a sudden he comes in front and says, well, listen, those 1,000 people made it. I can make it through this TSA checkpoint.
That wand won't hit me.
That wand won't hit me. And all of a sudden he goes there, and all of heaven goes, whoop, 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 whoop. You know, it's like, there he is, there he is. And God says it's him. And then all of a sudden, just immediately rebuke. You know, what are you doing taking from God? Look what you've done. You brought this curse on us. Because this is what God said, church. Mm-hmm. And we're talking to believers, not to organizations. Please get over that. We've got to survive this. And we'll only survive it when we find out who the church is. It's people.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, when somebody says, I love my church, quite often they're not talking about you.
Right. You
know? And you can realize that by how they're treating you.
That's right.
I thought you loved me. I saw your pen. Anyway, so God said.
No, it was a stained glass.
Yeah.
Tilt, tilt, tilt.
And God says, I'm out of here. Joshua, if you don't find out who's taking my stuff,
mm-hmm.
who robbed from me what is mine, I'm out of here. You imagine it's like you already said, okay, God, I'm going to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
You told everybody, listen, let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. And they say, okay, Joshua, we're going to follow you. You go in, and just like God tells you the battle plan, they follow the battle plan, and God gives you victory, and it all looks great. And you're about to go to your next one, a smaller one. You get defeated, and you're crying out to God, what's going on? And you got to mm-hmm. do that sometimes. You got to find out, Lord, give me it. What's up? Something's up. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, somebody robbed my stuff. And this is what happened. God says, if you don't deal with this, and listen, Church of America, if we don't deal with this, we're paying like $1.3 million per baptized believer, while 97%, 97% of the church, according to George Barna, is robbing from God. If you don't deal with this, he says, my presence is out of here. God said, I'm leaving. Can you imagine?
Mm.
Leaving?
Wow.
We just showed up.
What happened to
the promised land flowing with milk and honey? You don't understand. You can't keep robbing from me, and I'm not going to hang around.
Right.
That's all right.
And he said, I'm out of here. And so immediately Joshua said, we're going to find out who stole the stuff. You know? And when they found out, when Achan passed by, Joshua and the Lord identified, this is the man who was robbing from God. He confesses, when I saw it, it tempted me. I couldn't give it up. And how many people say, it's amazing. And what it is, mm-hmm. you have to understand, it's not about money or increase. It's about love. Who do you love?
That's
who
right.
do you trust? And when we love money more than God, mm-hmm. he says, you can't do that. You'll hate one and despise the other. You can't serve money and God.
Well, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also.
Exactly.
That's right.
And so God's not after our money. He's after our hearts. And if 97% of the church is robbing from God, mm-hmm. that means what? That 3% just kind of hangs in there, doesn't it?
It just doesn't go away.
That's right.
And so, you know, with that, then here we are. And so he says, when I saw it, I couldn't help it. I took it. You know, excuses God didn't buy. And he said, I went and I buried it in my house. I buried it in my bank account. And he buried it in his tent. He went back to his house where he lived. Mm-hmm. He dug a hole in the ground and kept it from men's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But he didn't understand you can't keep it from God's eyes.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
And many people are suffering in their lives outwardly because of what you did inwardly.
Mm. That's right.
And since you're so convinced that they didn't see the treasures buried in your tent, then you're not even owning up to the reality is the reason why this is going on is what you've been doing out of men's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're criticizing from me for being your fruit. The reason why I lost an AI is because what you got buried in your tent.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so you see God moving all over the world in a powerful way. But when you get to Europe, when you get to America, you don't see his spirit moving like he's moving in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because 97% is robbing God. Let me tell you something. Our economy is hit. We are floating a check right now that's going to be cashed very, very soon. We're coming to the edge of a financial cliff. No matter who gets in office, there's people outside this 4.2% of the population of the world who want to rule the world. They're shifting this economy. I've seen the paper money being destroyed. God has shown me these things. I've seen it in my prophetically. He's shown it to me in a vision, and it's all happening. And mm-hmm. if we'll quit robbing from God, if we'll be a shrewd manager and just begin to do what we have to do to be more concerned about how we are in God's eyes and men's mm-hmm. eyes instead of trying to please some boss who's in it for the wrong reasons and realize God will reward us for doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is how you'll be a shrewd manager. just honor God. Honor God. Don't even, I mean, if you get 10 oranges, take that first orange and go give it to somebody.
Yeah, right.
If you get $10, don't go look at your bills and then give to God. Take that $1 and quick as you can, you know, where you're being fed, you know, where you're being fed, that's where you want to carry it to the storehouse so you will be fed. But in your offerings, give.
That's right.
And then the rest of it, God says, that's blessed. Listen, I don't know how much time you got left. You know, but no matter what, it just feels good if you started doing like this shrewd young man and shrewd manager and just started doing what's right before he got fired. Because he knew that I would be right with men.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're right with loving men and being welcomed in their homes, that means that you're moving in love. It means you're loving God, loving others in your life, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Don't forget, it's time for us to stop robbing God. Maybe God's presence will come back again in this land. And God, in his presence, let me tell you something, everything changes. Everything changes when God shows up. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. If you have a hard time giving and receiving love, listen to Don Coble. He explains how he lived that way for many years.
Didn't have time at all for my family. I just kind of used them. I didn't really have time. I hadn't told my wife I loved her since I conned the preacher into marrying us. And I didn't love her. I had affection for her. I had lust after her. She met a part of my life that I needed companionship in, but I didn't love her. I didn't know how to love because I wore a great big mask. You see, I loved my dad desperately. And as a result of that, when I lost him, I couldn't get hurt again.
Well, many times a devastating loss in childhood can put up a wall around your heart, but God's love can help you learn to love again. To hear Don Coble's entire message today, go to focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to at VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have a entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand. Maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and saying, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope. against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying, but I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you, good plans in store for you. And I have a dream. I think about it, you know, remember when I was in Rome on the way to Israel, and we stopped off there, and we thought, you know, hey, you know, we got a little bit of layover here. We're going to go and tour Rome. We're going to tour. How's it go? Tour Rome. We're going to tour Rome. And so we walked down, and there's just like, we're being like just onslaughted by all these people who just were so they just wanted us to have a tour of Rome. They were like all over.
They're so kind to you.
Yeah, but they, you know, they just they just didn't speak English anyway. So they were, and so, you know, they go, oh, well, you know, we'll do it for this, we'll do it for that, but it didn't sound like that, you know. And so we're trying to figure out what to do. We got our little, I guess, Lear calculators out or whatever. We're trying to figure out, you know, what it costs to do whatever. And then finally somebody gets a wise idea. We don't need these guys who actually live here. We don't need these guys who can get to anywhere in Rome that you need to go. Quickly, let's just go ahead and rent our own car.
Oh.
So not only do we not know how to drive in Rome, we don't even know where we are in Rome. And so we have a car full of this.
I know what that means.
Yeah, and so, you know, and so we have a map. We have a map.
Oh,
and
no GPS, huh?
Oh no. We have a map. It's a piece of paper. It's a paper map on a piece of paper. For those listeners who don't know, I used to print maps on paper. It used to not be in Google's database. Anyway, so we had this map, and so I was a passenger. I was a passenger, and I was held captive. It was a bondage. And so they just started driving, you know, and it's like, you know, before you start, you know, driving somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you first need to know where you're at.
Mm.
Because they just assumed that the map that they had, that they knew where they were on it. You know, and so they started driving these major highways, and all the signs were written not in English, and we went around, and they had this huge Ferris wheel, just one big tire, you know, one big Ferris wheel, and we would pass by it, and it'd be on the right side of us, you know, and 15 minutes later we'd pass by it, it'd be on the left side of us, you know, and then we'd pass by on the other side, and it's like, we're not going anywhere. We're seeing the same ruins every day. I mean, what is going on here, guys? You gotta get, and they're like, "We're lost. We're lost." And like, look at the map, but the map wasn't written in English, and they didn't even know where they were. And of course, I didn't know where I was, and they didn't care. They just kept driving like me. I'm like, "We're gonna have to find out. I am not gonna ride around in some car not knowing where we are, and besides, this is just a stopping point. We're going to Israel. I don't want to stay in Rome." And so finally I just said, stop, you know. And they stopped because they were at the end of themselves. They didn't know what to do. And I took this map that they had, that they were confident in, as they rented a car to drive around, try to, you know, I don't know, just Americans. We're, you know, Lord forgive us, you know? And so, and then they looked at us every time, you know, people in Rome, they'd look at you like, yeah. You know, it's like, oh, okay, I'll tolerate you for a minute if you buy a sandwich. Mm-hmm. It was bad. And so I walk up this hill in this park, and these two soldiers are standing, you know, in this park near this city, near the Ferris wheel, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I open the map up, and I lay it on the hood of their car or their Jeep or whatever. And I don't speak their language. They don't speak my language. And I throw my arms out. I'm like, where am I? You know, help us. You know, and I'm like pointing at the map, throwing my shoulders up, my hands up. It's like, lost, lost, lost. He leans over and he speaks a little bit of English. He goes, stupid American. No, he doesn't. No. And so he looks at the map and they both study it. And then they laugh for some reason. And they look at each other. They look at the map and laugh. And then they come back. He says, where you are is not on this map. You know, and I'm thinking, like, my goodness,
a map of France. It was
well, it was a map of Russia. No, it you know, they just, you know, you don't just start doing something. You first got to find out where you are, and once you find out where you are, you need to know where you're going. And so, what, when you hear about, you know, God's word is a lamp unto my feet, it tells you where you are on the map of all creation and your life and why God created you, that he has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for your life. And not only that, first find out where you are, because you might need to repent. You might need to find out, oh, I am in a wrong territory here. I need to change the territory I'm in. So it's a lamp unto my feet, you know, and it's the Psalms 119 that I'm talking about. And it's a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path, which means not only is it going to tell you where you are in your life, but this is why many people avoid it. This is George Barna's survey said, like, only 18% of the people who profess to be Christians are reading their Bible. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means only 18% potentially know where they are and where they're going. Mm-hmm. The rest of them are in the dark.
Right.
That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means, right? Because if you have no lamp or light, you're in the dark. You're like, you're seeing the same thing over and over again in your life, just like the Ferris wheel situation. You're seeing it again and again and again, and you're getting frustrated. But you know what? You're never stopping and facing the fact that you don't know where you are and you don't know where you're going, and you got to go to God's word to find out where you're at. You know, and you got to begin to, and we call that abiding. You just got to hang out with God. You got to let his light, the light of God's word, shine upon you where you're at. Don't just go around shining God's word on everybody else and never applying it to yourself. Hmm. Realize that it's actually on all of us. And there are, I mean, the religious spirit that goes around it's about shining the light on everybody else, but it never shines the light on themselves. And so everybody says, well, I'm not going to apply the accurate light you shine on me, because you're not applying that same light to yourself. Because they say, you're in the dark, well, you're telling me to be in the light. But if you'll shine the light on yourself first, the light of God's word, and then adjust accordingly, thank God for the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God and the cross of Christ and the power involved in that, then you can begin to shine the light to know what your destiny is. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing more frustrating to look at people who weren't willing to communicate, you know, and they were going to help, you know, me minister in Israel. And then there was nothing more frustrating than to people who won't admit that they were wrong in the beginning of their venture, that they're not in this map anywhere. And, you know, not willing to trust the fact that, you know, just because they don't speak your language doesn't mean what they're saying is they're going to, you know, take advantage of you when they're going to drive you around and show you. Sometimes it's worth paying a little bit more for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Because in the long run, ignorance costs you a lot more money. Sometimes it costs you your life.
Yeah. Mm.
And luckily, it didn't cost us a flight. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm the kind of person that's like, you know, I'm not going to circle around too many more times. And when I look at, I don't know what it is, you know, and I pray, Lord, if it's not of you, that you'd remove it from my life. But I look at the church today and I feel like I'm passing that same Ferris wheel. And I'm like, are you here again after 90 days? Are you here in the same spot again? Are you singing one more song? Are you sitting between those same pews one more time? Are you jumping on God's people again, telling them to do something that you know they're not going to do because what you set up does not allow for them to be activated in the kingdom of God? I think about this sign that was sent to me in this group on Facebook, and it said, it said something like, pastors lead and feed, and the sheep swallow and follow. Pastor, and he had his name underneath it. I'm like, dude, are you serious? Are you serious? Wow. And then I was like, and the person who shared this with me, they go, serious? And then I'm like, this is horrific. And then I thought, dude, this could be prophetic. Because it's like, am I really supposed to do something? Because every time I start to do something, you tell me I can't do it, because if I go do it, then I'm not going to be here in your thing anymore. And so I feel guilty for not doing what you tell me to do. But when I go do it, you make me feel guilty for going to do it. This is a religious spirit. You're supposed to train me up in the way I should go. And I should not depart from it. I should go out into the harvest field and do something with it. You should have taught me to hang out with God, find out where I am on the map, show me God's destiny for my life, train me up and realize, you know, giftings can take you places that character can't keep you. So I need to be rightly related to make sure that I deal with my flesh and my stupidity that happens in our lives. But in that, I need to be faithful, because I'll answer alone before God. I mean, no witnesses, no suspects, but yet you make me feel guilty when you preach to me, but then you make me feel ashamed when I go do what you want me to do. And it's like, maybe that sign is serious. I mean, he put his name underneath it. The best one is he said, pastors, they lead and feed, and sheep swallow and follow. And it's like, no, that's not. It's the Great Commission. The Great Commission's for all of us. He said, listen, I want you to go. I was sent into the world, Jesus said. My Father sent me to make his name known, to bring glory to him. And as I was sent in the world, I'm sending you in the world. Listen, we're in America and it ain't good right now in regards to the things of God, because we are caught between guilt and shame. It's like, I hear the message, but last year when I tried doing this, I felt the shame for doing it because I was going to have to leave you to do it. But, you know, in a natural sense, when you have natural children, you're not concerned about them leaving. You're trying to escalate the thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's really time. Did you ever look beyond this place?
Yeah, right.
Did you ever think about getting your own pantry? You know what I'm saying? Did you ever think about getting your own house? I mean, that's a normal way of doing things. But now you got like 40-year-old kids living with 60-year-old parents, and the parents are going, how do I get rid of them? Parents talk, and they go, listen, I think I'm just going to change states, you know? And it's like, and now you got the government tying adult children to parents till they're 26 years old. I'm like, dude, come on, grow up. But you know what? The church is not growing up. The church is not growing up. And when he says that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, it lets us know where we're at and where we're going. If only 18% are even reading the word, and only 3% are concerned about the consequences of that word on their heart, it's not even 18%. It's only 3%. A percentage of that 18%, mind you, is concerned about the conditions of their heart and where they're going. They don't even care. God doesn't care. We live in a blessed land. You can be stupid for a long time in a blessed land.
Yeah.
I mean, just drive around. Just drive around. It's like, how long have you been that stupid? How does this work? How could you... You know, they say, when's the last time you worked? Oh, I don't know, 5 years ago. But you're fat. How did you get that big? You haven't worked. And where do you live at? Oh, I live in this thing. And you got cable? You hadn't worked in 5 years and you got cable?
You got a phone?
Got a cell phone. Got a smartphone. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. Just because you're able to live and be stupid in a blessed land don't mean you're not going to be held accountable for being stupid. You know, you alone are going to be held accountable before God for your own actions. You cannot blame yourself on anybody Everybody's held personally accountable. And America's like, my goodness, they're blaming anybody and everybody. And I was watching a particular documentary where they're talking to these kids, and these kids were like, yeah, it's my dad's fault. It's my mom's fault. You know, my dad left us, and this is going on. And then I pictured, God showed me a vision of like five generations being talked to at the same time, because every kid becomes, every man, every boy becomes a father, every woman, girl becomes a mother. And so now all her kids and his kids begin to blame them for it. And so imagine now a counseling session, like you're skipping all the life in between, and you're talking just to kids, you know, like 10 generations, and you're having a choir conversation. You might as well talk to them all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me the last 40 years was none of y'all's fault. Nobody took ownership of this whole thing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're talking to some kids that were kids in the 50s. You're talking to kids that were kids in the 70s. You're talking to kids that were kids in the 80s. Now you're talking to kids that were in the O's, you know? And if that argument's true, if that stupid argument is true, then nobody's responsible for anything, and God is unfair by holding you personally accountable for your life. Mm. The truth is, you got to take ownership. The word blame stands for, but look at my excuse. But that doesn't work at the throne of God.
Right.
Listen, we have to change our mind. Listen, get tired of ignorance. I can't watch stupid anymore. I mean, I remember I used to watch Lucille Ball show years ago, and it was funny. Mm. It was funny because it was stupid. You know, but it was kind of light stupid. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And stupid light. And then, but then it's like, there became so many things like Lucy. You know, in reality, it's like, I just can't watch stupid. As a matter of fact, today's wisdom moment we're talking about talks about that. You know, we're going to be talking about it's better to face a mother bear who lost her cubs than it is to face a fool and his folly. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Wow.
And it's like, you know, it's just, we got to quit being stupid. We've got to quit it. We got to stop it. Listen, we're going to be held accountable for this. We're going to be held accountable for this life. You know, and it's just what he said. A person who will not listen to instruction is stupid. That's what Proverbs says. And so we have to go, you know, I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to not know. I want to know. I want the light of God's word to be shown on my life. And listen, this is going to be a day where Jesus, he said over and over again, he said, follow me, and he went on. And right now in America, what we do is say, follow me, and then someone says no, and then we spend 6 years in counseling trying to convince them to follow God instead of just going, okay, see you, bye, and go to the next. Because there are people who want to know what God has to say. There are people who believe God. There's a people who want to know where they are on the map, and they're tired of looking at the Ferris wheels in their life. There is a people. You know what? And wide is the road that leads to destruction, most people are going to go that way, but the narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that get off the stupid wide road and get on the narrow road, and realize that all of eternity is weighing in the balance, and God's plans for you are good, plans to bless you and prosper you. And no matter how bad it looks, it will look good for you, because God can turn things around if he'll find some people of his that'll turn their hearts around to follow him. I want to encourage you this morning. If you have not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not saying that, you know, you are not an American Christian. I mean, everybody in Islam says everybody in America is a Christian.
Right.
I mean, everybody in America says everybody's a Christian. Right. It's, you know, he's like, I just wanted to know if, you know, if you're a Christian or not. It's like, where do you go to church? And they go, oh, I go to church at 123 such and such street. Oh, okay, okay. Do you even care what they believe? Do they even show up? Most people don't even show up. They don't even know. Either somebody's dying on their deathbed, you know, right? What do they say? They go, oh, bring my family around my bed, because this is the last time I'm going to see them, you know, and bring my pastor. What's my pastor's name again? What's our pastor's name again? I remember seeing it on the sign. But I couldn't see him from the distance between me and him every Easter when I came. Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, bring him here because I need my last rites. And they say, well, you're Pentecostal. It's like, okay, that was a movie I saw. But listen.
Oh my!
And it's like, you know, we have two regrets when people have two regrets when they're about to die. And you can eliminate those today. One is that I want to see my family because I'm about to leave them. There's nothing else I could do for them. And the other regret is I'm about to see God. I'm going to answer for things I didn't do or did do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can eliminate those regrets today by saying, you know what? I want to know where I'm at on this map. I want to begin an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But first, I want to know where I'm at on it. So you need to find the cross. You need to find the cross on the map of your life. You need to go make Jesus the Lord of your life. You need to, if you don't know how to make him the Lord of your life, listen, we've helped you out. You can go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories when we were wondering and we were lost, and a few of us were lost in a few of our stories, and you can kind of see, like, we're all over the map. And then when we found God, then we found who we were and where we were on the map, and then God began to shine his light in our life. And you know, yeah, we got off track a couple of times, and you know, but the fact is, we knew we were still on the map. We were still in God's will, and God was directing us. And you can have that. There's nothing like knowing where you're at and knowing where you're going. And there's nothing more frustrating than to not know where you're at and not know where you're going and knowing what life's about. And so you can go to meetmyfather.org. But right now, you can just cry out to Jesus, say, "Lord, I want you in my life. Jesus, I need you. I want your light on me, around me, and I want to see where you want me to go. I'm ready to surrender my life to you. I have done wrong. I am lost. There's nothing I could do outside of my own works. I need you, Jesus. Be the Lord of my life." And he'll come into your life right then. And then you can go to Meet My Father and find out what to do next. Meetmyfather.org.
In fact, I was so excited to see that, and I can mention this publicly because they've announced it and released a book about it. But Bill Hybels, you know, one of the pastor of Willow Creek Church, they have a network of hundreds, thousands of churches, tens of thousands of people involved, and they've been, you know, somewhat of the pioneers of visitor-friendly or seeker-friendly church. A year ago, they were going to put all their millions of dollars into their programs that they do every year. And they decided they were going to ask themselves the question, are our programs really doing what we think we want them to do? Are they really raising up true disciples of Jesus Christ? And so they put money into actually a study and all throughout their entire network of where people are at with this. And when they brought the report into Bill Hybels, he gave the report that they brought it into him in his office, and he hung his head and began to weep. Because they found that all it's done is gotten people in the building, but it's not created true disciples. And so they've now released a book, I think it's called Reveal Now or Reveal Where Are You? And it's based on the study that they did throughout their network on asking people questions about where they are in their relationship with God. And they said that what the programs have done is raised up people that are addicted to the programs. In other words, the only way they can find God is to have the program. And so people now will even pick the church they go to as like they would pick a pair of clothing when they go to the mall. They're going shopping. Do they have this? Do they have this? Do they have this? Do they have this? Instead of where they're called. Jesus was the opposite of seeker-friendly. I mean, Jesus went to his big group of disciples and said, "Guess what, guys? You know, you're going to eat my flesh, you're going to drink my blood. You know, what do you think about that?" And a bunch of them said, "You know, this is a really hard saying," and they left. And he looked at the other guys and said, "You want to leave too?" He was anything but seeker-sensitive. But there is a remnant of people that are beginning to cry out for the glory of God. And when they begin to cry out for the glory of God, and the glory of God begins to come, it's going to begin to bring division in the midst of this organizational monster that we call the church. But the real church will begin to rise out of it. And I'm not saying this because we get a negative attitude towards the people that we think aren't going after the God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the glory of God comes, it begins to capture the people that are really after his heart. I want to read this to you. It's called, "I'm a Consumer." I'm a consumer. Nothing wrong with that. I like nice things, shiny things, techie things, tasty things, dark beers with a rich foam head. Did I mention I'm a consumer? So you want me in your church? Here's how to get me. Parking. I need lots of space for my big SUV. and it better be close to the doors. I don't want to do much walking. So if it isn't, how about a shuttle? Nice building. This is important. I'm not interested in some strip mall church that looks like it's struggling, or an old traditional church unless you've done millions in renos. I'm an upwardly model semi-professional, and I want my surroundings to reflect my importance. Proper HVAC. This isn't important, it's critical. I want to be cool when it's warm and warm when it's cool. 68 degrees Fahrenheit to 72 degrees Fahrenheit year-round. Is that too much to ask? Comfy chairs. And when I say chairs, I mean chairs. Preferably theater style, with wide armrests. Give me some space for my girth and safe distance from the other arriving consumers. Be punctual. I've already spent too much time getting me and the family ready and there for the meeting. Begin it on time. Have something cool playing on the big screens to entertain if we arrive a little early. You've got an hour. Make good use of it. I want to be in and out in no more than 75 minutes. Maybe a few more if you're serving decent coffee. Decent coffee that's free, of course. Music. Three songs up front, one fast to get us going, one mid-tempo to help us be reflective. End with a fast one that tells us how much Jesus, God, the Spirit loves us. Just please know Jesus is my boyfriend songs, okay? Announcements. Get them over after the music. Present them on your big screen so they can be done quickly. This isn't a time to stick your B-team on the platform to give them some FaceTime. And unless Larry David is writing for you, avoid humor. Have the Final Cut folk edit your marketing stuff down to 15-second bites. If it works for Sony, it'll work for you. Offering. Now it's up to you where you put it. If the preacher is great, after the sermon might work better. If not, go for the money after the announcements. Maybe show some shots of starving third world kids in the last announcement. Heartstring tugs work for compassion and world vision. Why not your church? God loves a cheerful giver, and the Malachi 3 verses and the 100-fold blessing are important reminders. A good story of how tithing worked for someone would be great. No more than 90 seconds, though. Sermon, 20 minutes. Did I make myself clear? 20 minutes. 20. 20. We have the attention spans of gnats. Keep that in mind. Make it practical. If I wanted systematic theology, I would have gone to seminary. Use humor. Steal from the best if necessary. I want to leave feeling built up, and it's a bonus if I can use your jokes and stories that you told at work tomorrow. Final song. Let the band rip on the last song. Feel good, happy, clappy works here. If you want us wanting to come back for more next week. Benediction. Let the band lay back and under as you bless us. Speak multiplied blessings over us, and then do a fast pitch for whatever product you need to sell. And I did say fast pitch. And then the band amps back up. This is the place for guitar or sax solos as we head out the doors to the shuttle bus or the bookstore or the free coffee. It's okay to charge us something extra for lattes. Like I said, I'm a consumer. Oh, and a sort of a Christian. If you build this, I will come. Or so you've been told.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.